Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There is a disturbing thing that happened in Florida, in the greater Tampa area. We've got to be on the lookout for this. Somebody broke into the, hacked into the computer running the water system in Oldsmar, Florida. I've never been to Oldsmar, Florida. Town of 15,000, about a half hour apparently drive from Tampa, that area. Somebody broke in and tried to adjust the amount of sodium hydroxide that goes into the water, poison it. What is sodium hydroxide? Sodium hydroxide is lye, L-Y-E. And why is it in the water? There's a trace of it. It has to be less than 100 parts per million. And it's good for keeping the water supply clean and drinkable. Whoever hacked in tried to move the needle and move the amount of sodium hydroxide of lye to 11,000 parts per million, from less than 100 to 11,000 of lye. In other words, putting in a poisonous amount of lye in the drinking water of Oldsmar, Florida. A technician who was on duty says that he saw the needle on his monitor, the mouse that's controlled by the mouse, suddenly start to move. And when it went up, he shut it off and they caught it in time and it never happened. They claim that somehow there are some other controls so that even if it had gone through, they could have caught it, but coulda, shoulda, woulda, would they have? Maybe. Is every small water supply in the country state of the art? I doubt it. Are the water supplies for New York, Chicago, LA, Atlanta, Houston, Minneapolis? I mean, are they, how about Milwaukee and Madison? Are they state of the art? I don't know. I do not know. But what this shows, assuming this is what happened, is certainly there was a monkeying with the computer that was going to increase the amount of sodium hydroxide of lye going into the water supply. But if that did happen, every water system and every electric grid in this country has to be scrutinized for tampering and also for fail-safe mechanisms so that if something outside of a range occurs, there's an immediate alarm and a shutdown, not of all the water or all the electricity, but certainly the ability of somebody to do this without a manual override to some other reason to do something. But that's what happened. Oldsmar, Florida, town of 15,000. They can't tell whether it was domestic, international. They can't tell. They came out of Florida. Is it a disgruntled employee? Who knows what it is? But it's something to keep in mind. When you're evaluating municipal offices, who you're going to vote for and all that, vote for competence, you know, vote for people instead of scratching an identity politics itch all the time. Make sure that the people you're voting for are not only somewhat knowledgeable about these kinds of problems, but are enthusiastic and really care about doing something about them. Because down in Oldsmar, Florida, if this report is true, this guy just caught it. He happened to be looking at his monitor. So there you have it. You know, one of the things that kills me about Voss and about the Republicans overturning Tony Evers' mask mandate isn't just the fact that it's going to cost us almost $50 million a month in federal money. And it isn't just that it's spiteful and petulant, but take a look at the data. Look at the data nationwide. There is now 80% mask compliance nationally. It's pervasive. Everybody knows they should wear a mask. 4 out of 5 people do. In some states and some cities, it's 90%. North Dakota had been virtually 0%. And then they are at 89%. Wisconsin, I'm sure, is up about 90%. People do it anyway. The mayor of Waukesha, Sean Riley, came out when he saw this fight, and he goes, I don't care what. And, he, and listen, Waukesha is a Republican area, you know. Comes out and he says, I don't care what the legislature does. We're wearing masks. I urge everybody to wear a mask. Steve Ponto, the mayor of Brookfield, same thing. Mask is only common sense. Wear it. Brookfield is Republican Central. And that the mayors of Brookfield and Waukesha have said this. When you have 80% compliance nationally, 90% in some places, and 89% even in North Dakota, and you have these really servile imbeciles, slaves to their donors who think that this is going to lather up their base of some sort. They've got, I mean, you say, let's recall them, but we're gerrymandered. Got to get rid of, we got to have fair maps, got to get rid of Citizens United, relentlessly fight on that, because you get people who will deliberately injure the state of Wisconsin. We're going to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, something that's off topic, because impeachment really isn't rolling. With the death of George Shultz, I'm listening to these pundits talking about Reagan and the Cold War. I'd like to clear up something, at least in my mind, with Reagan. I'm sick of hearing him ending the Cold War, okay? I think every president from Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, all the way to Carter before Reagan had a lot to do with it. It was kind of a war of attrition. That would be like saying the guys that topped out the Empire State Building were the only ones that built it. The people that built the foundation had a lot to do with it, too. And it just, it's another fantasy about Ronald Reagan that it just goes right through me. He happened to be sitting in the chair when it ended. He didn't end it.
You're right. And let's go back and quick review the history of that, because you're absolutely right. What ended the Cold War were a couple of things. Internally, there were tremendous pressures. I was in Moscow and St. Petersburg in 1997 with a delegation from the Justice Department under the auspices of the State Department to give a series of lectures to their prosecutors and their lawyers on our judicial system. And this was the thaw, 1997. Boris Yeltsin was the guy. He was not a commie. He was reasonably honest. And what really did it was several things. One is economically, you couldn't continue to have a country as big as Russia with its history and all of its resources and keep running it like a North Korea. I mean, you just couldn't do it. And secondly, Mikhail Gorbachev came along. Mikhail Gorbachev was a commie. He was a communist. However, Mikhail Gorbachev was enlightened, and he understood the West. And more importantly, he understood Russia's contribution to Western civilization. I mean, if you read Chekhov, if you read Dostoevsky, if you listen to the music of Tchaikovsky and Mussorgsky and look at some of their mathematicians, they desperately want to be part of the West. It's a strange country. Part of it's in Europe and part of it's in Asia. And they feel very inferior about that. And they have a national inferiority complex. And he understood all of that. He understood all of that. So he gradually made overtures. But the fact is that you're absolutely right. It was Eisenhower. It was Kennedy. It was Carter who led up to it. And Reagan had very, very little to do with it. Very little to do with it. And then Gorbachev basically enabled Yeltsin to do the job. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. There's a lot more back after the break.